And I'm super excited about this new series that we're starting. It's called Don't Skip the Big Rocks. And you're probably wondering what that means, but we'll unpack that here in just a little bit. And I know 98% of you are thinking, where's the whiteboard, man? Right? Like, where is it? It's coming back. Don't worry. It'll be here next week. But we've got kind of a powerful thing to walk through with you here this morning. And really what this conversation is going to be about, this whole series, is going to really look at how do we kind of grab hold of a season of our life and how do we make the most of it. I tend to see this as kind of every time I go into a new season, it feels like it's easy to kind of accidentally just roll into the next one without a lot of thought. Right? And if we're not careful, what can happen is before we know it, just like summer's almost over and we can't believe it went so fast, and soon fall is going to be over and we won't be able to believe it went so fast. If we're not intentional about kind of grabbing hold of what matters most in a moment or a season, then life just kind of gets away from us. And there's so much coming at us at all times. There is always a fight for our attention. Something is always trying to grab hold of our attention in some way, asking us to do something or say something or be a part of something or watch something or look at this. And the reality is, unless we kind of take a step back and grab hold of how do I grab hold of what matters most in my life, it's hard to see kind of where things are headed and what it all looks like. So that's what we're going to do in the course of this series, is we want to walk into making sure the kind of the most important stuff is built into our lives and kind of built into our schedule, our calendar, and even our priority, right, kind of our heart. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like and how to do that throughout the course of our time here. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus and maybe you're here just kind of checking things out, investigating the church a little bit, first of all, I want you to know we're thrilled that you're here, and we want you to know that we're all about Jesus, that Jesus is the one that we talk about, we focus on, and what he did when he came to the planet, lived a perfect life, died an innocent death, rose from the dead, and then he offered us new life. That is what we are focused on, is taking hold of that new life, recognizing that he died for our sins, he paid for those, and now we've got a brand new life that the Bible talks about that we can live and engage in and walk in. And that's what we want to look at. What does it look like to take hold of that life that is available because of what Jesus has done for us? So that's what we're going to dive into. And what I want to do today is I want to show you this picture that makes more sense with kind of a physical representation than a whiteboard picture. And this is an old illustration. It's not original with me, but man, this has affected my thinking so much on such a deep level that I wanted to show you guys and help us kind of build a little bit of our series around this idea. So here's what we're going to think of as we kind of unpack this picture is this. We want to think of this empty bucket right here as our life, okay? Our life. This thing for the next handful of minutes or however long we're here, we're going to think of this as our life. And the reality is this thing is going to get filled with something, right? Something is going to fill our time and our energy and our life. And it's going to, every single one of us, I'm pretty sure if I asked you, if you're busy, you'd be like, busy, busy. That was true, right? I've done that my whole life. If I spent 40 hours watching TV or playing video games, busy, right? If I was super busy having 4 kids in 5 years, busy. Doesn't matter really what's happening. I feel busy, you feel busy. And the reality is something is going to fill this thing. Right? And that's just kind of how it is. And so what we want to do is we want to look at what is kind of currently filling our life, and then we want to look at and ask the question, is that what we want it to be filled with? Right? Is that what we want it to be filled with? That's going to be the question that's going to kind of consume our time and energy today, and then the real question is, how do we make sure the stuff that we really want in there ends up in there? Right? But I want to show you a picture of how this looks when my life tends to be kind of on autopilot, and we've all lived this way or felt this way at least at one point or another. And even before I show you this picture, I'll just maybe ask you this question. How many of you have maybe lived this way before where you would look back and say, I know, like if I were to look back at a point in time, I know that if I could go back and change some things, that I would definitely change them. I see now that there's opportunities back here, but I missed them. How many of you in the room would look back and say, if I had to go back and do something different, I would go back and do something different in my life? the rest of you are just lying. Okay, I mean, that's just right. I would absolutely say that about almost every part of my life. And so here's what we want to do as I show you this picture is I want us to a little bit wage war on future regret. Okay, I want to wage war on future regret so that in a year or two or 5 years from the down the road, we're like, man, I'm really glad I put this stuff in here that I put in here. And that is kind of the hope. Never going to be perfect, but certainly we want to look at that. So, right, this is my life. And if I'm just kind of on autopilot, what's going to happen is I'm going to fill my life with, like, some low-level stuff. Okay, some low-level stuff. And so you kind of wake up late. We're going to scroll, maybe check the news, check the weather, right? All fine things, not inherently bad or wrong, but just kind of low level. I'm not going to really prepare for the day. I'm going to just kind of go through the motions, kill time. Maybe I'm hungry, so I'm going to stop at the gas station and buy some snacks, not thinking about where my money's going, not thinking about where my minutes are going. And before I know it, my life is just kind of full of lower level thoughtless actions. There's not a lot of intentionality built in. I'm on autopilot. It's almost like zombie mode, right? And if you've ever felt that way, I felt that way at times. I'm like, ooh, I haven't really thought deeply about where I'm headed or what I'm doing or what I'm giving myself to. Well, what is going on here? And am I thinking through kind of where my life is going? Or is it just kind of the lower level stuff and that ends up being the base of what I'm doing? And then we would look and say, well, yeah, there's some important things that need to happen that they're not, like, the most important, but it's still kind of important. I mean, I got to, like, get an oil change, right? You guys have a car, you get your oil changed. I do that sometimes, right? You should take showers. Did you take a shower today? I think that's an important question we should all answer, right? Right here, this room. If you didn't take a shower, maybe you should do that, right? Showering's important. Maybe you should, think about making your bed, whatever it is, right? So you got stuff that you do, and it matters, but it doesn't matter as, like, the ultimate thing. It's just kind of important, right? It's kind of important. If I get my oil changed tomorrow or today, it's probably not the end of the world, right? But it probably should happen at some point. And then we've got kind of the next level of stuff. Man, yeah, I probably should have some financial goals of maybe I need to get out of debt or I need to work on maybe my career. I need to think about maybe how to make sure I'm in shape and move my body and take care of my health. That stuff's important. That's not like that's like a big deal, right? These are bigger size rocks for sure. I got to make sure I have some friendships, maybe some hobbies. Like I like to play Ultimate Frisbee. Who likes Ultimate Frisbee in here? Okay, you're my favorite people, all right, the three of you. Okay, so that's cool. I like chopping wood and running my chainsaw. I know I have weird hobbies, it's fine, right? Everybody's a little bit weird, you are too. Whatever it is, right, I might have these things I want to put in my life, and they matter, right? They're showing up in here. But then we get to this part of our life when we say, wow, man, there's like a lot of stuff in there, but what about like the really, really, really important things? Like, that one's stuck, right? What do I do? I'd be a terrible magician, by the way. I think I'd be awful at this, right? What do I do with like the really, really important things? Like, I'm probably on this planet for a reason. Like, there's probably some version of calling that God has on my life that I should probably get a hold of and figure out and move towards, right? Maybe if you're married, and you made a vow before God to deeply pursue somebody that you're going to live with for the rest of your life, literally a vow that only you can fulfill, right? Or maybe you're a parent to a child, and literally you're the only person on planet Earth that can be the biological mom or dad to that child. Or maybe you've adopted or fostered, and you're the one appointed to love the child that God has given. And the priority of knowing Jesus, our very maker, the one who laid down his life for us. And the reality is that if I build it this way, that what happens is when I hit a speed bump in life, I get sick, gets busy at work, there's too much going on, the stuff that is the most important, it just kind of falls to the way. There's no more room left for it. How could I ever read my Bible? I'm so super busy. How could I just can't. We can't have time to date. You want me to investigate my calling, Ryan? I can barely keep up with. Look at all. I mean, look at all those white rocks. I got so much going on. I have so many oil changes to do. Okay, like there's a reality that when I build this way, I kind of know that something's wrong. I kind of know that something's wrong. Something's off here. I'm not totally sure what it is because there's so much stuff in my life. It feels like it should make sense, but then I'm like, oh yeah, like the really big things. How do I get those in there now? Because there's a lot in, right? There's a lot in the middle. This is the question I want to investigate and begin to look at throughout the course of this series. And there's this awesome proverb. I really have been struck by this one. It says this, it says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. As water reflects, so you look in a still lake and you see your face back at you, what Proverbs is saying is, if I take a good hard look at my life, what I'm going to see when I look at it and kind of take stock of it is I'm going to see reflecting back to me the state of my heart. And when my heart feels frantic or it lacks intentionality or love or the main things, I might look and say, ooh, I've got a life problem, which means maybe I have a heart problem. And so what we want to do is we want to have the courage throughout the course of this series to take a good hard look at our lives. And I would tell you, Lori and I do this on a regular basis as we ask this question, what are our big rocks, right? What are our big rocks? And are they in? Are we making sure they actually show up in our lives? This is not a one and done, oh, I did that once. This is an ongoing basis. And here's maybe the way I want you to hear this conversation, at least today, is to hear the conversation like this. In this next little season, this next, let's say from now till Christmas, as we move into the fall, we don't have to solve the whole world's problems all at once, but in this little pocket of time, what I want to do is I want to look at this and ask the question, how do I get the big rocks in? How do I get the big rocks in this thing? And how do I make sure that they show up as part of my life? Is that right? Here's what Jesus would say when speaking, I think in part to some of this thinking. In Matthew chapter 6, when he's got a kind of a longer teaching on people being concerned and focused and worried about kind of the smaller parts of life. How do I make sure I have the clothes and that I'm going to get fed and right kind of my basic needs? Jesus is going to look and say, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the rest of it's going to be added to you. What Jesus is telling us is there's just stuff that matters more, right? Some things just matter a lot more, and they are far more worthy of our attention and our focus and, frankly, our priority. So he's going to say, don't chase after all the stuff that everybody else chases after. That's the paraphrase. He's going to say, instead, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Go find the big rocks and give yourself to them. And the rest of the stuff is going to find its way into your life in its rightful place. Right? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and the rest, right, all these things will be given to you. Ryan, what are big rocks? Here's kind of just for the sake of our conversation, maybe how we'll think of it and how we'll define it. We're just going to use big picture thinking. The big rocks are kingdom priorities. Okay, they're kingdom priorities. Jesus is a king. The Bible's going to talk about him that way. He has a rule and a reign that we get to be a part of when we say yes to Jesus. Right? And we saw an act of somebody submitting to the kingship of Jesus right here in baptism. As Michael said, hey, I'm in. He's my king. I follow him. His kingdom is my priority. And that's what we want to do in practice, is we want to look at what are the kingdom priorities that God has placed in my life in this time and in this place. And let me just say this too. We're going to look and explore this throughout the series. Not everybody's rocks are exactly the same. Okay, not everybody's rocks are exactly the same. The big, like, no Jesus rock is going to show up for everybody, okay? That one's going to be a big deal. But there's going to be other rocks that might be unique to you in your place, in your time, and what's happening kind of in the moment that God has you in. So to recognize that and see that, I talked to somebody after the service, and this person was saying, Ryan, I'm in the middle of chemo right now, and sometimes I feel bad that I'm not more involved and doing ministry the way that I used to do ministry, and I would look at them and say, in the middle of where you are right now, your health actually is probably a big rock. You navigating through following Jesus in the midst of this moment is probably the main priority that you have today. Glorifying God in that moment. Is it making sense? This conversation, listen, this conversation is not about guilt. It's not about looking back at what we did wrong to beat ourselves up about it. It's about getting clarity and getting wisdom and having some freedom to look and say, man, this stuff has to show up in my world and it has to be more central. That's the idea. Okay, so that's where we're going to be heading. And I want to grab hold of the big rocks, and I want to introduce you to this thinking from a leader in the early church. His name is Paul. The Apostle Paul would say this in the book of Ephesians, an early church that he was writing to. He would say this: be very careful then how you live. He would say, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Jesus would teach this way, to focus on things. Paul would teach this way, that there is wisdom that we have to grab hold of. And here's maybe just something that's helpful to know. If you're maybe newer in your faith, or you grew up in a tradition that sounded like this, God is not going, just because we follow God or say yes to God, he's not just going to take our lives and just fill them with wisdom on our own. He's not going to make our choices for us. He's going to say, what I want you to do, I saved you, I died for you, I want you to have a relationship with me, I want you to seek out wisdom, and then I'm going to empower you to be the one that makes decisions that align with wisdom. You and I have to do that part. That is a work that we have to be involved in. God's not going to override our mind and our intellect and make our decisions for us. You and I are going to do that. Okay? Now, he's going to say, be very careful then, right, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And that then that he interjects there, what it does is it points to some stuff that he said earlier, like earlier in the chapter, right, in the book of Ephesians. And what he's going to say is he's going to focus on some things that have become true of us if we're followers of Jesus, things that affect our identity or who we are. And here's why this matters so much. We build our lives with wisdom because of who we are, as followers of Jesus. Here's what I mean. Look where Paul would lead us, right? Earlier in this passage, he would say this. He would say, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Watch the math a little bit. He's going to say, hey, operate with wisdom, fill this thing with wise decisions. Why? Not because you have to earn salvation or be good or did it. It's because you were lost and you were in darkness. You were off of the realm of wisdom, but now you're something different. Now you're light in the Lord. This is who you are now. So make sure that when you look at, you want to put the big stuff in this thing first. You want to build differently. Why? Because you are light now. You have been made light out of darkness. You are something different. So you want to live in accordance with who you actually are. Earlier in the passage, he says this: follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Walk in the way of love. Here's what Paul's getting at. He's saying, hey, do you know who you are? Do you understand what the God of the universe has chosen to do in you? That he's chosen to take you from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. That now you belong in the family of God. That your existence, why you're on the planet, is not just to walk through life with a zombie-like fashion where I don't really know where I'm going or what I'm doing or what my life's about. He's like, listen, I came. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. I came to wake you up. I came to, you would be awakened to new life. You exist to bring glory to me, God would say. I gave you purpose. I've given you the ability to show the love of God to the people around you. I've put a calling on your life. How can I just go and wake up as if my days and my minutes don't really matter at all? So I can just squander them and waste them and live zombie living. Here's the thing, folks. As we go into this fall, here's what I want to help you do, and I'm passionate about doing, is I don't want to walk into this fall, into this next segment of time, with us wasting away the opportunities that God has set before us. So that in a year or two or three, you look back at me and say, Ryan, why didn't you tell me, man? Why didn't you tell me that there's a wake-up call I could have had and things could have moved in my life? I could have been awakened to the power of God in my life, and instead I was like, hey, man, this Candy Crush thing is really fun. I'm just going to give myself 40 or 50 hours a week to watch some TV, some Fox News, some CNN. I'm going to play some Block Blast until my eyes bleed. You know, it's going to be awesome. No, nobody sets out to say, you know what I want to do this week? I'm so passionate and fired up. 40 hours on mind-numbing games and scrolling. Nobody does that, but it happens. But it happens. So you say, Ryan, whoa. See, this isn't just a life hack. This isn't just a self-improvement talk. This is a conversation about what happens in the life of somebody who has been brought back from the dead, who has been brought into the kingdom of light, has been made light, has been brought into the family of God, and now looks and says, I can't live like this anymore. I can't live like this anymore. In fact, I would want you to resolve in this series. I want to make a case for you in this series that you are ruined for living like this. That you would look and say, I can't live like that anymore. I refuse to waste myself. I want to give myself to the kingdom and give myself to kingdom purposes. Why? Because if Jesus laid down his life for me, I want to take that same passion, and I want to lay myself down for the people around me. I want to take hold of what God has taken hold of me for. Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. My life will not just stay like this. I'm going to fill it with something. I'm going to fill it with something. Right? In a life without intentionality, it doesn't remain or stay empty. It just gets filled with lesser things. And what I'm convinced of is our lives get filled with lesser things, not because we're such bad people. It's not because we tried to do this on purpose. It's because we fail to realize the gravity of why we're here. I think we fail to realize the potential impact of how God might want to use our lives. I think we fail to realize the cycles that could be broken if we chose to let Jesus change us and mold us from the inside out. I think we fail to realize the impact and changed lives that could happen if we actually said, I want to do what God has brought me here and changed me and called me and died for me to do. And because that epic calling does not consume our minds, We kind of forget about it and zone out and just do whatever's the easiest thing. The big rocks have not grabbed hold of our imagination and our heart and our mind, and we lose track of them. We just kind of skip them. So you say, Ryan, what do we do? How do we do this? Well, here's I think maybe a way to think of it. As I would look at my own life and say, I probably have three or four big rocks. We have, for the sake of this conversation, we have three. And I would look at my life and say, man, I know that God has called me. He's saved me to know him and have a relationship with him. That what matters the most, what has to matter the most, is that I am here to know God. That will define me for eternity. There's a reality that God has given me a family to love and to lead, that I'm the only man that can be husband to Lori. Oh, yeah, preach. My wife's in here saying amen, right? Yeah, that's good. I'm the only one that can be dad to my four children. There's a lot of stuff that other people could do that I do. Other people could replace me in a variety of ways. I currently, in the role that I'm in, is I get to lead this campus and give myself to it. I long to do that for the foreseeable future. Those massive kingdom priorities, what they're going to do is they're going to take up the most important, they have to take up the most important space in my life. And I just want you to understand, in order to do this, this is like the fight of my life to get these things to show up here, right? And then there's a bunch of other stuff that's going to fall in around it. I got to take care of myself and, right, do the things, and I'm going to have some hobbies, and I'm going to take a shower, and, right, all the things we talked about. They're going to find their rightful place in my world and in my life, and we're even going to have a little bit of frivolous stuff show up, and we're going to even scroll a little bit, okay? It's going to be okay, right? We're gonna do some things that don't even matter that much. They're just not built on the center point of my life. And in fact, we could get all of this sand to actually fit in here if we wanted to. I practiced, right? I practiced this thing multiple times. But here's the thing. I'm going to make the case for this, right? As we let kind of the kingdom be what it needs to be, and I find it finds its rightful place as the most important part of my life, all of the other stuff kind of finds its way to where it needs to go. And we can add some more, and more will show up there, and it's fine. But here's what I'm going to make the case for you on. In reality, even though we can make all this sand fit, what I have found is that in order to keep my rocks where they need to be, I actually have to remove some stuff from my life. I need to make some more space. I've got to delete some stuff. There's still plenty of room. I get to still play Ultimate, run my chainsaw, you know what I mean? Take baths. I take showers, but right? I still do those things. And there's probably less. I still watch TV. So there's probably less than there would have been if the big rocks weren't in. And this is kind of this redesign. It is the way that I, over and over and over again, I want to fight to keep the main things the main things. And I would argue it's the fight of my life. I bet it's the fight of yours if you ever tried. And here's the thing. It's never like I arrive. This is always a constant work and fight, right? I think this is the fight of wisdom, and it's the fight of priority, and what I long for us for this series is for us to be in that fight. I long for us to be in this fight. Some of us are in a stage of life right now where you probably have the ability, maybe you're free, maybe you're single, maybe you are in a place where you have the freedom to really deeply redefine everything about your life, and you might be able to just take this whole sucker and dump it all out and start over. Okay, when I came to know Jesus, that's about where I was. I was like, whoop, right? It's all like, let's start over from scratch. A bunch of us are not in that place. You have kids and a mortgage you got an obligation, or you got rent that's going to be due, and you're like, Ryan, I can't flip the whole thing over at once. Right? I'm not sure that would even be wise. Here's the question that I think we at least need to start with, whether it's a radical reorienting of everything that we do, or it's looking and asking the question, how do I make sure I get some of that stuff down in there deeper that really, really matters? How do I get the big rocks? And here's a question that I would love for us to spend some time praying about and asking God about. Here's the question. Lord, what needs to matter more? Very simple. Lord, what needs to matter more? In my life, in the next few months, what has to matter more? Not what is the people around me want to matter more? Not just what does the pressure of my culture say needs to matter more? Right? Well, Lord, I want to hear from you. You are my king. I want to fall under your reign and rule, your kingdom, Lord, what needs to matter more? What are the big rocks in this next, let's just say, 4 months? Between here and the other year, Lord, what needs to matter more in my life? What should have a higher place, and right now it has a lower place? Here's what I find every time I ask that question. What I find is usually the answer makes me a little uncomfortable. It makes me a little uncomfortable because I know I'm going to have to do something that's hard almost every time. There's got to be an adjustment. There's going to be a tweak. I'm going to do something that I know is a little bit, either a little bit scary or a little bit difficult. And here's what also happens. There's an incredible supernatural peace that comes with the clarity of that decision. I know I'm going to be doing the thing I need to be doing. I'm going towards the version of what God is asking me to do. Here's the thing. Here's the fight. Because before we know it, it's going to be 4 months from now. Or it's going to be a year or 5 or 10. And here's what I long for all of us, is that you look back and I want you to be glad. You've said this before. If you ever look back at a decision you made and then you said, man, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad this thing moved in my life. I'm at the stage right now as a parent where I've got two that are above 18 and two that are below 18. Four teenagers. Awesome. I love it. Truly love this stage of parenting. And I remember it being 20 years ago, 15 years ago, before we had kids, and then as we started to have kids, and I remember thinking about what I wanted my kids and our relationship and what I wanted it all to look like. And now I'm on the other side of that, looking back at it, right? And as I look back at that, there are some parts of that story and that life and those seasons that were navigated that I would look at and say, man, I'm so glad. I'm so glad about this. And then there's parts of as I look back that I would say, oh, I would do that so very different. If I could go back in my story, even as, let's just use as a parent, I would fight to the death to be more present. I would fight to the death to be more present while I was in the room. I'm so glad as I look back that we prioritize quality and quantity time together. I'm so glad that I disappointed tons of people in order to choose a relationship with my children. I'm so glad I did that. And if I had to go back, I would put down the problems in my head and try to be more present with my kids when I was in the room. You're going to have a version of that, but in 4 months, what do you want to be glad about? What do you want to be glad about? In 4 months, is this the time that you learned how to use the Bible? Is this the time that you learned, you found your way to some friends that follow Jesus and you finally solved that? Is this the time where your marriage, if you're married, where you looked and said, we're not going to live in this mediocre, frustrated land. We are going to invest in our marriage and it's going to change in the next 4 months as far as it depends on us. If you're single, would you look and say, I'm not going to stop wasting time wishing that I wasn't single, and I'm going to begin investing in the relationships that God has put all around me, becoming the person that he's called me to be, and put my attention there? What are you going to do with the next? Here's a window. Here's a little window of time. What do you want to put in it? Only you can choose this. Your mom can't do it. I can't do it. Your best friend can't do it. Your boss can't do it. These are your decisions and mine. As your pastor, what I'm calling you to do is say, wait a minute, I want to feel some discomfort now in this moment. This is going to be hard work to look at it and be honest about it and see that things need to change. But in 4 or 5 months back, I'm going to look and go, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm glad we did that one. I'm glad we went all in on that. I'm glad I got to see that piece move. I'm glad I got to see my purpose unlocked a little bit more. What could God do, even with just a very short amount of time, from a group of people that looked and said, I refuse to live this way anymore. Not as unwise, but as wise. How do I grab hold of the big rocks? Now, here's what I want to do. I want to try to help us with this. And we got, if you may have seen, there's buckets of rocks in the lobby. Okay, buckets of rocks that look just like this. Here's what I'd love to have you do. I'd love to have you, we got enough rocks for everybody to grab one. Okay, so I'd love for you to grab a rock on the way out. And I'd love for you to put this rock somewhere you're going to see it every single day. It's going, I want you to be, right, you, maybe you're going to put it in your car, or if you have a desk, you're going to put it on your desk, or you put it on your bathroom sink. I want this rock to slowly make you crazy, okay? I want it to remind you that there's a kingdom, and there are kingdom priorities, that there's stuff that matters a lot. And I want it to stay in front of you, and I want it to, some of you are neurotic, it's going to drive you insane, that it's sitting somewhere and not put away, right? That's great. I love to bother you people. You have problems, and I just want you to know it, okay? So, right, I want you to grab a rock, and I want you to put it somewhere, okay? Put it where you're going to see it. And over the course of this series, it's going to be the reminder to pray this prayer, Lord, what needs to matter more? What needs to matter more? Would you give me courage to take hold of what you're asking me to do, what you're asking me to be about, to not skip the big rocks, but to put them in first? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? Would you pray this prayer as the band leads us? We'll worship and sing together. Father, today, I pray that you would continue to awaken us to the fact that you didn't send Jesus here to die for us to just zone out for 20 or 40 or 60 years until we see you face to face. You gave us purpose, Lord. You died for us to have life and to have it in abundance. I pray today that you would give us the courage to take hold of the things you're calling us to take hold of. The things that matter a ton. The priorities that you've given us. And God, I pray that because of this conversation and because of what you're calling us to do, that as we look back in a year or two or five or ten, we see that these decisions were decisions that you blessed and that you worked with. You multiplied because of your grace and your kindness. Lord, all of us today stand on your grace. All of us have failed in so many ways. And today we just say thank you for your kindness that we can start over. We can begin again. And today we have a fresh opportunity to grab hold of the things that you've called us to grab hold of. Meet us here, even now.